In the news, Cass County 911 Director Rob Coppert reported late Monday evening that the landline 911 service outage that had affected the Griswold Telephone Company customers in the Griswold and Lewis exchanges late Monday morning apparently has been corrected. Customers in Grant and Elliott were also affected. Coppert said a fiber optic cable was cut along 620th Street between Atlantic and Lewis. He said he spoke with the technicians from the Griswold Telephone Company late Monday afternoon, and they advised that they would be making a series of test calls from each exchange. Those test calls have been completed, and landline 911 service appears to have been functioning normally. The outage did not affect cellular 911 service. A federal disaster declaration issued for 19 Iowa counties, including Dallas and Guthrie in the KJAN listening area, that sustained damage by severe weather in June. Governor Terry Branstad Monday said the Federal Emergency Management Agency has approved a request for a presidential disaster declaration. Branstad requested the support after the counties were damaged by winds, tornadoes, rain, and hail and thunderstorms from June 20th to June 25th. The declaration means the counties will get federal funding to help with rebuilding efforts such as repairing property, removing debris, and other emergency work. A survey team from the National Weather Service has determined that the tornado that went through northeastern Adams County Sunday was an EF1. The worst damage happened about 8 miles north-northeast of Prescott. The tornado traveled south before turning northeast. Crews were working to restore electricity to sections of southwest Iowa, the area that was hit by the tornado. Adams County Emergency Management Agency Director Brian Canis is coordinating the recovery efforts. He described one farm as looking like a war zone.
Sheds are blown down, metal strung all over the place, combine that's probably been rolled 3 or 4 times, and grain bin that's smashed in.
Katie James says electrical crews restored power to some storm areas during the night. The tornado left a zigzagging 5-mile swath damage to corn and soybean fields.
They're completely flattened down. It looks like you just went over them with a huge straight iron, kind of like an iron. They're just completely flattened. I've seen hailstorms before, and sometimes the corn comes out of hailstorms, but there's no way the corn's going to come back from this damage at all. A 5-mile swath.
The National Weather Service says the storm lasted about 25 minutes and had high winds at 100 miles an hour. While buildings and crops were damaged, nobody was injured or killed in the storm. The owners of a restaurant in Oakland that was destroyed by a fire early Monday morning say they plan to rebuild. Bud and Sarah Johansson told the Daily Nonpareil Monday that the Bucksnort restaurant was insured and that they will rebuild the popular establishment that's been in their possession since they purchased it about 6 months ago. The same couple also own and operate the restaurant by the same name in Neola for the past 7 years. Bud Johansson, who is himself a volunteer with the Neola Volunteer Fire Department, said that he and his wife support a number of community and private fundraising efforts at both their Oakland and Neola facilities. The Oakland Bucksnort had been the collection point for a community effort to collect backpacks for students attending the Oakland area schools who might need them. Fortunately, the backpacks that had been donated by area residents were picked up last weekend and were not in the building when the fire broke out. The fire at the Bucksnort at 310 Dr. Van Zee Road was reported just before 3 a.m. Monday, according to the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office. Deputies and members of 4 local fire departments arrived on the scene to find heavy smoke coming from the building. Pott County Chief Deputy Sheriff John Reynolds told KJAN News that as the crews battled the fire, it worsened and firefighters were forced to retreat and take a defensive position. Oakland volunteer firefighters were assisted by crews from Carson, Macedonia, and Hancock. The fire was declared under control by around 5 a.m., but volunteers with Oakland Fire remained on the scene throughout the afternoon to address hot spots. Authorities believe the blaze started in the southwest portion of the building, which housed the kitchen, a storage area, and an office. The building sustained extensive damage and was declared a total loss. Authorities said also nothing indicated the fire was suspicious in nature, but an investigation into the incident was ongoing. And the Cass County Sheriff's Office on Monday reported 4 arrests over the weekend. On Friday, 21-year-old Brandon Dwayne Clark of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear in court. Clark was taken to the Cass County Jail and released the next day in his own recognizance. 3 people were arrested in Cass County on Saturday. The sheriff's office said 37-year-old Abel Navarro of Ankeny was taken into custody on a charge of OWI first offense. He was later released on bond. 59-year-old Karen Ann Fritz of Oakland was arrested in Greenfield on an Atlantic Police Department warrant for forgery. Fritz was taken to the Cass County Jail and released the following day in her own recognizance. And 46-year-old Bradley Leo Ranney of Messina was arrested Saturday on a charge of driving while revoked. Ranney was taken to the Cass County Jail and remained held on $1,000 bond. In the funeral announcements, Bernice Jensen, age 97, of Anita, died Saturday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Graveside services for Bernice Jensen will be today at 10 o'clock at the Exira Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has the arrangements. Tilly Toby Christensen, age 96, of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and formerly of Audubon, died at the St. Francis South Hospital in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Funeral services for Tilly Toby Christensen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Broken Arrow Seventh-day Adventist Church, with burial tomorrow in the West Exira Cemetery in Exira. Robert Hubert, age 79, of Panama, died Friday in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Robert Hubert will be Wednesday at 11 a.m. at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lori Ann Moore, age 52, of Missouri Valley and formerly of Oakland, died Saturday. Funeral services for Lori Ann Moore will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Donna Devilbus, age 82, of Atlantic, died Saturday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Donna Devilbus will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. And Jeff Tigas, age 48, of Defiance, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Jeff Tigas are pending at the Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents in Oakland. Your independent insurance agents are Craig, Marsha, and Mary at the Hummel Agency. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.